Now, Helen, we've got a question here for you. This is very, very brief from Mark Stipetic, who says, why are flies so difficult to swat? Do they just have very fast reactions, or is there some other factor at work?
Well, there's actually a couple of different things. I mean, you're quite right. Flies are really hard to swat. I think maybe if you cool them down, that might be a better way of actually catching them, but I've never tried that.
Not very practical, though.
Not very practical.
Cool your entire house down
exactly,
just so you can catch
them. Squirt them with a jet of cold. No, that doesn't work. But anyway, it's partly to do with their eyes. They've got incredible eyes, not just a single eye like we have, but they have multifaceted compound eyes, so they're collecting light from all different parts of the room so they can really see all around them. So they can definitely see you coming. But another reason, which was actually just come up this year in a study from Michael Dickinson of the California Institute of Technology, and they discovered using incredibly high-speed video cameras that, in fact, just before they take off, flies actually adjust their position so that they actually jump in the right way. So they can work out what's coming at them and from what direction. So they can actually hear you kind of approaching with your swatter through as it swishes
hear
through the air.
Hear or see as well.
Oh, presumably they can see as well, yes, absolutely. And by making that calculation of what's coming at them, they adjust their position of their legs so that when they do decide to take off, if they do decide, sometimes they actually change their mind and they actually change position about to get ready to go, and then they might suddenly decide, oh, actually, I'm not being hit after all, so they don't go. But they do kind of manoeuvre themselves, so they're ready to go in the right direction when they do take off, which is just incredible. And it's just incredibly quick. This is the only reason we've only got this now is because we've now got such high-speed cameras to actually track these movements and to show them positioning themselves in space so that they actually, you know, take off and fly off in a direction that you weren't expecting, maybe. And it's gone before you get a chance to aim again. So they really are awesome creatures, and we may not like them, but they are really quite incredible.
Yeah, fly spray, DDT, that's the answer.
Nasty stuff.
Thanks, Helen. Right, well, that's it for The Naked Scientist for 2008, and I have to say a very big thank you to our absolutely superb production team here at this end. That's Ben Vowsler, Dave Ansell, Mira Senthilingam and Diana O'Carroll. We're back in 2009 with more Naked Scientist shenanigans, but we do have a couple of Christmas presents for you to enjoy while we're away. So if you check for an update on Christmas Day, you'll be introduced to our first foray into video podcasting with Science from the Sporran, in which the inimitable Dr. Ernest Utherford, you'll work it out, takes you on a kitchen science experiment, an adventure with a difference. Also next week, we'll have an episode from a brand new podcast we're launching, which is called Naked Archaeology. And in this episode, Diana O'Carroll will be exploring, amongst other things, some mysterious mummified fetuses that were found alongside the body of King Tutankhamun in his pyramid. So, I hope you enjoy all of that. In the meantime, we hope you have a terrific Christmas and New Year. Thank you very much for listening to us this year. We really value your support, and please do keep sending in the great questions. That's to chris@thenakedscientist.com. Have a great Christmas, take care, and goodbye.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC, and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.